Good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to, with the help of the Lord, to encourage us about love and what is love. I know the world today, if you look on the TV or social media or wherever you are, the definition of love is a feeling, right? They say it's a feeling. Well, you feel like you're in love with somebody, or you feel in love is a feeling. But I think the scripture tells that love is an action. And I want to look at some scriptures. The first one is John 21 and verse 15. And this was when the Lord was restoring Peter. And the encouragement here is that the Lord, all the things that we do for the Lord should be out of love. The motivation should be out of love. And we know that faith is important. You know, we know that all these different things are important. Faith and believing is important. But also, the Lord wants us to be governed by love. And here in verse 15, it says, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to them, 'Feed my lambs.' And he said to him again, a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' And he said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" And so a couple of things I just want to bring out here is that the Lord told him to do something, but then the first thing the Lord asked him is, "Do you love me?" And I think that's the motive for everything that we do for the Lord. It has to be first born out of that we're doing it for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have to be governed by his love. And here also, there was different type of love here also. This word, because in our English word, there's only one word for love, but there's different words for love here. There's a filial love. And then also there's agape love. And the agape love is a sacrificial love, type of love for someone. It's giving your love to someone knowing that you may not return it, you might not get it back in return, but it's almost a sacrificial love. Where it's almost an agonizing type of love where you're giving of yourself, you're sacrificing yourself for somebody else for the good betterment of someone else, knowing you may not get it in return. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. He's saying, "Do you love me?" He's saying agape. But Peter was saying philia, almost like I like you. Yes, you know, I do like you. I have love for you. But he's saying, "No, do you love me? Do you have that sacrificial love?" And I think the Lord is telling each and every one of us that he wants us to do a work for him. As he said, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." He wants us to do a work for him, but it has to be governed by love. It has to be pushed through by love. And so I just use that as a springboard to where I want to go, is I want us to look at what love is, what love isn't, and how can we bear out this love. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 13 and let's see what love is and what love isn't. And so the Corinthians, they were caught up with gifts, right? This person had this gift and they could speak. You know, they can preach, they could do all these things, right? But the Apostle Paul tried to show them that the motive has to be always love. And it says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I can remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing." When I was reading this, this is some strong, sayings here, right? I mean, imagine a tongue of men and of angels. So basically here, this is speaking of someone who can speak different languages, right? Say you have the gift to speak different languages and you can tell the gospel to everyone. You can speak in different languages. And the tongue of angels, to me, that speaks of someone who's very eloquent, right? I mean, like someone who, man, when they speak, you're like, wow, you know? It's like you're drawn to when they speak. there's some people when they speak, it's like, you know, wow, this person has a gift of gab, right? And this person can speak anything, right? And it says that if a person has those type of gifts and they could be preaching, they could do whatever, and it's not out of love, the Bible says it's a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. It means it has no worth. Like, it's like me. If I went on the piano right now, you know, I could play something. Maybe Mary had a little lamb or something. But it's going to be, to you, it's going to be like coherent. I can't read music. So if you put it in front of me, it's going to be bang, bang, like a little child, right? It's not any sound to you. It's just a sound, but it doesn't have anything coherent, right? And that's what the Bible says. If you are speaking with tongues of men and of angels, you're so eloquent, and it's not the motive of love, that's what it's like. It's like a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. It has no purpose. And he says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so I can remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. This is another strong statement. Imagine if you know all of the word of God. You know, you've studied it. You've went through book to book. You know, you could go verse to verse with anyone, right? You know what I'm saying? Anybody comes to you, you have a verse for it. You could tell them this. You could tell them that, right? And you understand all mysteries and all knowledge. And it says that you have faith that you can move mountains. The Bible said that the faith has a mustard seed. But one, I was reading about it, and they said that it can be dangerous, right? Imagine you have faith, but you don't have the love, right? The Bible said you can move mountains, but the person, the writer was saying that you could move the mountain and crush somebody else, right? You can use that faith to say, well, I have this faith, right? And I could, you know, if it's not governed out of love, you could end up being legal. You could end up being very, you know, stringent with people, and you could end up being very rigid, right? And that's what happens, is that it says that without love, it doesn't mean anything. And he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to burn and have not love, it profits me nothing. So now here we see, you know, bestowing all your goods to feed the poor. The rich young ruler, when he met with the Lord Jesus Christ, said, well, sell all that you have and come follow me. And of course, he loved his possessions more than, you know, the Lord at that time. And so he went away sorrowful. And even if he had sold all his stuff, right, and he didn't do it out of love for Christ, love for others, it wouldn't mean anything. And that's the thing, is that we have to realize that everything we do, everything we say, and it's been gripping my heart lately, it has to be governed by the love for Christ and love for others. If it's not the motive, then it's not going to be done in the right way. And it says, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. So imagine that. Imagine being a martyr, someone going in and giving their life, right? I mean, to me, if I see somebody give their life, I would say, well, that person has love, right? Right? You would think that that person has love. But there were people in the day, back in the day, who felt that they had to earn their salvation, or they had to earn the love of God by giving their lives. By giving their lives and stuff like that. And it's good to stand up for Christ and to give your life and to also stand up in these tough times. But that shouldn't be the motive. The motive should be the love that we have in our hearts for others and for Christ. And as we go along, and so I know this part seems negative, but we have to see what love isn't, to see what love is, and so we can know what love is. And it says, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. So here we see what love is. Love suffers. Love is long-suffering. And so what does long-suffering mean? Long-suffering means that basically that it may take a long time, right? If loving someone is not easy. We all have our flaws, right? I mean, you know, I have my flaws. My wife could tell you, you know what I'm saying, you know. And you know, we know everyone has their flaws. So love has to be long-suffering. But long-suffering is something that God does towards us. It says that he's long-suffering towards us. And that's what should be our example, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's long-suffering towards us. We should be long-suffering, that we should be those who would have patience with others. That love is not easy. But we're called to be long-suffering, to have patience, and is kind. What is kindness? Kindness is an act, right? You know what I'm saying? To act kind towards someone is doing something for someone that would help them or something that would be pleasing to them. And so that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be long-suffering, but also kind. And it's easy to be kind to someone who is kind to us. But that's not what the Bible here is teaching. The Bible is teaching long-suffering and is kind. It could be someone who rubs you the wrong way. It could be someone who you may be abrasive to you. It may be someone at your job who rubs you in the wrong way. It may be someone in your community. It may be someone who you don't get along with. But the Lord says agape love is loving someone despite, even if they don't reciprocate it back. It's loving those people. And it says love does not envy. So envy, we know, is a subtle sin. And we know envy is what put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Envy is what sold Joseph into slavery. Envy is what Cain and Abel, right? All these things, envy is a subtle sin. It starts off with like you are jealous of someone because of their blessing or something that they're doing in life, right? And it may start off where you're just saying, why them and not me kind of thing, right? But then what happens is that envy can turn into hate, right? And that's what happened, that even Pilate said that he said because of envy, they seek to crucify the Lord. Envy caused the Lord to be put on that cross. Envy caused all these different things that we see through scripture. And so love does not envy. Love is happy for other people. Despite of, they might get a blessing and, the Lord may be taking a longer time with us. But we should be happy for others. Love is happy for others, being happy for others. As parents, we have that love, that sacrificial love for our children, right? Or for our brothers, our brothers and sisters, our blood brothers and sisters. We like to see them, elevated and stuff. We should have that same love for others, everyone in the world, to see happy as they move forward. And it says, love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. And this is a big one because on social media, love is paraded, right? I always see this guy, he's on his social media, and he gives money to people, right? But what he does, he takes the camera and he shows him giving the money to people and saying, oh, look, I just gave it to this homeless guy. And people, he gets the likes and stuff like that. But love does not parade itself. It doesn't show, look, this is what I'm doing for this person, right? You could get that accolades, but that's not what really agape love is. You know what I'm saying? It's giving yourself without getting anything in return. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. Parading itself is showing other people. Puffing up is me telling other people, oh, you know what I did for that guy? I did this, I did that, and did that. And so it makes you puffed up. It makes you feel good. Like, oh, I have this love. Look at me because of this love that I have. That's not how the Lord looks at it. That's not how the Lord wants us to be. And all of these things with love, you could put the Lord Jesus Christ's name in it. It says, Jesus suffers long. Jesus does not envy. He's our example. And it says, love does not behave rudely, as does not seek its own, is not provoked, and thinks no evil. So here it says, behave rudely. So we know that love, that we're supposed to treat others how we would want to be treated, right? It does not seek its own. We're supposed to look at the things of others. That's what the Bible teaches us, that not only look at our own things, but look at the things of others. Like, look at, if maybe somebody's in need. We should be encouraged to always seek out how others are doing. It's not a selfish thing. It's not provoked. That's a hard one, right? Because if you are with somebody long enough, you will be provoked, right? I mean, even with Moses was provoked. And it says that because he was provoked by the people, he struck the rock, right? And he wasn't able to go into the promised land, right? He missed out on a blessing because he was provoked. And so we should not be provoked. There are going to be people who are going to rub us the wrong way. But the Bible is telling us to go the extra mile and still have love towards that person. And also another thing is the world. I'm telling you, the world is pushing this one. thinks no evil. And this is a tough one because we're taught in our lives to be pessimists. We're taught to be, well, this bad thing is going to happen, right? This, you know, it's not going to work out. This is, you know, I'm praying, but I just don't think it's going to work out. And this is the thinking no evil, that we should look for the good in others and don't think, oh, this person has a bad motive. They're only doing this because they want this, or they only do, you know, it makes us think bad about others. And the Lord wants us to have, if we're going to have a true love for one another, we have to not think that that person is doing out of evil motive. We have to think that that person is doing out of a good motive. And it says, doth not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And this is another thing, is that we have to be careful when we hear bad things about others, that we don't go be tattletalers or tell bearers or that such, right? Is there are people who are happy to see the downfall of other people. And this is what the world is today. They bring somebody up, they put them up on a pedestal, and the next minute they dash that person right down. Oh, you see on the news, this person, you know, you see it with different celebrities, dealing with different people, that they revere this person, they love this person, and as soon as that person think they're all over the news, that, you know, the paparazzi's following, they're trying to find a negative thing around them. And this is what the world is programming us to be, to do not rejoice in iniquity. Don't rejoice in other people's downfall. You know, we should be those who would talebear about the things that people are doing good, the things that people are doing that are good, and not be those who would tell bad things about others. And it says, rejoices in the truth. We should always rejoice in the truth. But it says, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endure all things. And I want to hone on that word, all things. So it could be some things, right? It doesn't say some things. It says bears all things. Love can help us to bear all things. When you feel you can't overcome something, you know, we're going to get hurt in life. We're going to go through tough times. We're going to go through times when, you know what? Somebody is going to do something to us that you feel is unforgivable. But the Bible says this here, you can bear all things. I didn't say that. The Bible says you can bear all, not some things. It says all things. And so how can you bear these all things? It's by having the love of Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, let the love of Christ constrain you or compel you or control you. It's that you have to let the love of Christ control you. Look, we've done the worst to Christ. I mean, you know, if you think of the worst thing anybody has done to you, we've done the worst to Christ. And we put him on that cross. Because of our sins, he died on that cross. You know, and so if you're thinking about bearing all things, he bare all our sins on that cross. If we're supposed to have the love of Christ, then you could bear the things that somebody can do to you. But you can't do it through your own power. It has to be through the love. That's that divine love that we can have. It says that you can bear all things. It says believes all things, that we have to believe that basically that when we go out into this world today, that the Lord can change lives. You know, if we don't believe that, you know what? Then we're not going to go with the same power, because we're like, the person might believe, you know, I don't know. They might, you know, no, we have to believe all things. We have to believe that the promises in this word of God, that God says that we could go out with that same power, and that we can believe that he's going to do these things for us, and hopes all things, that we can have a hope. We can have a hope that as we go out and we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has sent us, we can also have a hope that he's going to change those lives. That we have, as we preach the gospel, as we tell others in this world, we have to have that hope that he will be long-suffering towards them, that he is still calling them, and we have to have that hope. And then the last one is the hardest one, endures all things. And this is a longevity thing, that it endures. Love endures. That love goes through all these things and has to endure. It's perseverance. It's going through these things, even these tough times, these tough trials that we may have, and we endure through that love. But then I love, as it goes forth, it says in verse 8, it says, love never fails. And it I look at this as two ways. I know the other translation says love never ends, but I also want to believe that love never fails. That love never fails in terms of that if we go out in that purpose with the love of Christ as our motive, that we won't fail. But also in the other aspect is that love never ends. Because it says, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know now part and prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. And when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now I know in part. Then I shall know just as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. And the reason why, I mean, he's not saying that it's either or, right? He's saying that all these things are important. Love has to be the motive. But love will never end. Look, prophecies will end, right? All these different gifts will end at this time, at a certain time, when we meet the Lord in the air or when he comes back, right? All these things will end because they'll be coming to fruition. We talk on prophecy now because we're seeing things, as he said, in a mirror darkly, right? We're looking at these scriptures and we're now, you know, interpreting them from what the Spirit gives us. But there's one day when we'll see Jesus face to face and all these things will be done away with, but love will remain. Is that our love will be, we'll be able to tell the Lord Jesus Christ forever, for all eternity, how much he means to us, how much we love him, and we'll be able to spend eternity with him. So I just want to encourage us with this, is that let love always be our motive. Another scripture that I've been gleaming on is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. And we'll read from verse 1 for connection. And it says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And so that's the encouragement I have for us today. The encouragement is for us to always have love as our motive, right? If you're doing something for the Lord, let us go before him and say, Lord, let me be in love for others. Let me have love for you. Let me be governed. Let me be controlled by that love. And let that control my life and my motive. And I think if we do that, you'll always see us in good standing and good ground. It's when we vary off that, you know, the world starts seeping their ideas of love. And when we start to go with the world's ideas and we get muddled in, you'll see the pessimistic, you see the doubt, you see all this thing. But if we go with the hope that the love, the hope that we have, the believe all things, the hope all things, endure all things, I believe if we have all these things, these companions to love, that we'll be able to overcome all things. And we post we go to 1 John, it says that we're supposed to love one another. Is that love is not, again, as the world, it's not a filial love. You know, I know there's different types of love. There's philia. I believe there's eros, which is intimate love between husband and wife. There's agape. And then I believe another type of love. But there are these four different types of love. But the love that we want to focus on today is agape love. It's a love that is gives yourself without anything in return. I know the world says, well, you know, if you love me, I'll love you. That's not how the Bible talks about it. The Bible says that you give love to someone even though they may not love you in return. And I think if you do that, the world will change. Because if we have this type of love, the world will change. Because the world is trying to define as what Christians should view as love. We're supposed to be the ones influencing how the world should view love. And I think if we have that right disposition, you'll see the world change. For his name's sake, amen.